Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I'm so out of whack today.
Are you?
Yeah, dude. I got here on time, too. I got my house on time. I got here on time. It's NFL schedule release day, though, with my writing job at NinersWire.com. Everybody go check it out. It's a huge day for clicks.
Yeah.
Which drive money.
Which you're financially incentivized.
Yes, for sure. So I'm trying to deal with that. I'm trying to get my arms wrapped around that. And then just a general feeling of uneasiness. Like we were talking about yesterday, anxiety and that feeling of, it's like there's a problem in my brain. And if somebody said, oh, what's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm hiding something. I just can't tell you what's wrong. My brain's just like, I got a feeling for Jesse today on okay. D'Lo and KC. So I think it's just knowing that my routine is going to be thrown out of whack a little bit. I'm going to have to stay here late because the schedule releases at 5. D'Lo and KC ends at 4. That doesn't give me enough time to get home. So I'm going to sit around in the office until the schedule gets released.
Mm. You got a long day in front of you.
I do, but it's fine. And I think that's just what it is. I think it's just knowing that because typically I get home about 3, 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I think it's just knowing that I think that's where my brain is just thrown me out of whack. But luckily we get to do a radio show where we get to yap at each other.
Yeah. I've got a long day too.
It helps. Oh yeah? What do you got?
I've got a race home.
Okay.
Then race to the airport, and by 5 o'clock this afternoon I'll be in Santa Barbara.
Hell yeah. Love that for you. Are you flying to Santa Barbara?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah. I can't drive 6 hours in a car.
It's 6 hours to get to Santa Barbara?
Yeah, from my house.
Oh, I guess that's true. I guess you live out in the sticks. That's
like right. 4 hours from you, but
yeah.
No, I can't.
That makes sense. That makes a lot more sense.
Anything over like two and a half hours, I start getting sciatica.
And do you fly out of Sacramento?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it's like a 45-minute flight. Spectacular.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I imagine. Is it even a full-size plane? Is it like a prop jet?
No.
Propeller.
It's new. Like Southwest flies, so it's a.
To Santa Barbara?
Yeah.
Is there an airport there?
Yeah, for like the last 2 years, they've opened up and you can fly to Santa Barbara.
This is all new to me.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I assumed
it was like in, isn't there an airport in like Stockton?
Well, yeah, but Stockton is nowhere near Santa Barbara.
No, I understand that.
Oh.
But it's just like a tiny airport where I don't even know if you could land a Southwest jet in that airport.
No, you can't, but actually Stockton has a lot of really good deals.
Yeah, like little regional flights.
Yeah, regional flights.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. So, but I always imagine a Sacramento to Santa Barbara flight is like on a propeller jet. But I guess it's not that much further to SoCal, to like LAX.
No, I mean, like when we were in Europe with the boys, we took a flight from Paris to Barcelona, and mm-hmm. then from Barcelona to Rome, and then from Rome back to Paris.
Sure.
And those flights are only $45 a pop per person, right. And like super cheap. And, you know, like riding the rails is fun in Europe,
uh-huh.
but you can take an 8 hour, you know, train ride or sure. a 45 minute flight.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Right on. Well, shout out to you. When you said, because I knew, I thought you had said you were going to Santa Barbara, but then you were like, oh, I'm flying. That's why I was confused. But it makes more sense because you not only live out here, you live in the sticks out here. So you have a much additional drive time. Plus, if you're doing that in rush hour,
mm-hmm.
it's probably more than 6 hours.
Yeah. I mean, again,
you're fighting traffic.
My back issues, like, there. I don't like yeah, even yeah, when yeah. we went to LA for sure. to go to Disney, like, we flew.
Flying to LA makes way more sense to me.
Yeah.
That makes just, in my brain, that makes more sense than flying to Santa Barbara. But it makes sense now that you mention it. Anyways, here's some news that Kings fans may or may not want to hear. If you don't want to know how close the Kings were to winning the lottery,
mm-hmm.
mute us momentarily for the next, like, 2 minutes.
This kind of feels like, I mean, you've watched Beavis and Butthead, right? And you remember the gym teacher?
No, I don't know.
You don't remember the gym teacher?
Brother, I was like 3 when Beavis and Butthead was a thing.
Okay, so the gym teacher, realistically, it's Hank Hill, right? So
Yeah. But, same Mike Judge, right?
Yeah. And he would go around saying, kick me in the jimmy. That's what this is like. So Kings fans, hold on.
All right, everybody, buckle up. Zach Lowe was on his own podcast, the Zach Lowe Show,
mm-hmm.
talking to Bill Simmons. And Zach Lowe is one of the media members who is in the room when they do the lottery drawing.
Yeah.
So not when they reveal the envelopes, so it's on TV, in the private room before they go out and do the broadcast on television, there is a private room with media members and a representative from each team. And they're watching the lottery happen.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Lowe is describing the scene inside the room and actually lets us know how close Sacramento was to winning the lottery. Here's Zach Lowe. I'll let him tell it.
The first ball comes up 10. And we've lived this movie before where a high number comes up. Everybody's in play with the high numbers. Second ball is 14, which is the highest number. And right. now there's like, uh-oh. Like what? Like now it's just everyone is still in play.
So 10 and 14 means the lottery is officially drunk already with 2 balls left.
Then 11 comes up is the third ball. And at that point, Justin Zanuck, who is representing the Jazz, and Will Dawkins, who is representing the Wizards, I think Justin looked at Will and was like, oh, like this is not this, like this is the level of murmuring that was going on. Like, uh-oh, this is not going well for us. 10, 14, 11. Here was what was in. Now there's like this delicious 20 seconds where everything's in play, almost everything. If the last ball was a 6, Blazers win the lottery. If the last ball was a 1, Wizards win the lottery. Ugh. If the last ball was a 2, Pelicans win the lottery. If the last ball is a 3, Brooklyn wins the lottery. If the last ball is a 4, Toronto wins the lottery. If the last ball is a 7, Mavs. If the last ball is an 8, the Bulls win the lottery. If the last ball is a 9, the Kings win the lottery. And here's the kicker. If the last ball is a 5, a 12, or a 13, the Spurs win the lottery for the second time in 3 years.
Okay, so it's not that the Kings got to within one ball of winning the lottery, because as Zach Lowe just laid out, there were a bunch of teams who were in play with that final ball.
Yep.
A whole bunch of them, including the Kings. What really hurts is that it was a 7, which is 2 numbers off from what the Kings needed.
Yeah, the Kings had a 9. The Kings had a 9. I mean, this literally feels
just
like
brutal, dude.
When you're at a raffle and you know you bought like an arm length of raffle tickets for $8.
Yep.
And then you're reading the ticket and they get all the way to the last 2 digits.
Like 3? Yes, that's me.
That's me. It's 8? Still me. That's still me. It's still me.
0?
Yeah. I'm in.
1? I need a 6. 5.
5.
Damn it.
4. You got a 4. Like, no.
Brutal, man.
I
was listening to that yesterday, and as he's reading off the teams, I'm like, don't say Sacramento. Like, I know they're going to be in there,
mm-hmm.
but just don't say it, so that way we don't know for sure. And sure enough, 2 numbers. 2 numbers away from having the number 1 overall pick.
Yeah, and I think it was either last year or the year before. No, mm-hmm. I think it was last year. The Kings were 1 number away.
Yeah, with Wemby, right?
No, I think it wasn't the Wemby draft. I think it was because Wemby drafted.
Oh, the Risachet draft, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you get the top pick last year and you would have been like,
I'd take Risachet. A good player.
No, I agree, but I think the Kings would have like probably traded that pick.
I imagine so, yeah. So, anyways, if you're unmuted, welcome back.
Yeah.
You didn't want to hear how close the Kings got to winning the lottery. Alas, they don't have a pick. It goes to the Atlanta Hawks. And now, as we talked about yesterday, they have a full reset. Okay. Does it help? Make you,
you know what, though?
Does it make you feel better?
It does make me feel better.
Man, they were close.
It makes me feel better in a way because what it does is it legitimizes the way that the draft happens. That's what I think the cool thing is about the way Zach lays it out, because he says, you know, he brings up that the first ball basically opens it up for everyone, right?
Yes.
Because if it's a low number, most of the teams with multiple picks are early in the draft,
mm-hmm.
right? They're the early numbers. So when it was like the first number was an 11, and then he said the next number is a 14, which again puts the number way up higher on the board. And everybody in the room, it's on the wall, but everybody in the room also has, like, he said there's like a sheet of paper that they give you, or like a bundle of papers mm-hmm. with all the numbers and who has what numbers. And so you're sitting there shuffling through to see where it's going. And it makes me feel better because, again, like, someone can say, well, it makes me feel worse because if they would have, you know, just lost one more game, they would have been tied with Dallas, and then it's possible they would have been in that spot.
Oof.
But that's just like, you would have had to win two coin flips in order to get to that spot.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many woulda, coulda, shouldas.
Or win a couple more games.
Yeah.
You win two more games, you're in that spot, right?
Well, no, if you would have lost one more game, you would have tied with the Mavs and with the Bulls.
Yeah, but then you're doing coin flips. But if you win two more games and you don't advance to the playoffs, you would have been in the Mavs spot, right?
No, because the Mavs were lower than the Kings.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Kings, I had that
the
backwards.
Mavs were 11.
I had that backwards. Yeah. Got it. Okay, very good. NFL schedule releases today, and just to let everybody know where we're at, it is so far the 49ers schedule leaks we have are that they are set to visit the Seahawks in week one.
Mm, okay.
They will host the Jaguars in week four, and they will host the Giants in week nine. Those are the schedule leaks so far.
Okay. Yeah.
Just keeping everybody up to date, that the schedule is officially released on at 5 o'clock. No, but I was trying to look for it. Zach actually shows on the podcast on the YouTube show. He pulls out the piece of paper, and it is just a packet of numbers.
Oh yeah,
and which team is associated with which number? And he showed that. I was trying to find that to pull that up, and I couldn't find it.
I like that they pulled the curtain back a little bit, and that, you know, to be honest with you, it's Zach Lowe. He's one of the most well-known, you know, well, podcasters, one of the most well-known mm-hmm. podcasters, but also one of the most trusted.
Yeah.
You know, so there is, you know, Zach is about as honest as you get.
Yeah, he's the classic, like, down-the-middle journalist type. Like, he's a huge basketball fan. You can tell he loves the sport.
Yeah, and he's incredibly intelligent.
Yeah.
Like, he's a lot of fun to hang out with.
He is super smart. It is so fun listening to him break down games.
Oh, yeah.
He's a brilliant dude. Shout out to Zach Lowe. I might try and get him on the show.
There you go.
Other news yesterday, I want to talk about more about the lottery and if we can fix it, because I think if we did the lottery where it was just you and me putting the teams in order ethically, mm-hmm. I think we'd get a better draft order than the one we got, but we'll talk about that. Some other huge news in sports yesterday that it felt like MLB just kind of news dumped this.
Yeah, kind of weird. I'm surprised they didn't wait till Friday at 5 o'clock.
Very odd. They are reinstating Shoeless Joe Jackson,
mm-hmm.
who was banned for his involvement in the 1919 Black Sox scandal in the World Series, where there was never actually evidence that he did anything to throw the games. It's the premise of the movie Field of Dreams.
Eight Men Out as well. Eight Men Out is an incredible film.
Yes, yeah. For sure. Pete Rose also being reinstated by Major League Baseball, so he can now be eligible for the Hall of Fame. Same thing goes for Shoeless Joe Jackson. I know that there are things with Pete Rose not having to do with gambling that came out later in his life that made people not like him, mm-hmm. which is 100% understandable. It's very clear, given some of the bad people that are in the Baseball Hall of Fame, that MLB is not going to care about that. So I'm not going to get caught up in that. I hate that it was Rob Manfred who did this.
Mm.
Because this was such an easy layup win for baseball for a long time. And I think it became, I think a lot of the pressure gets put on by their involvement with FanDuel, with DraftKings, with Underdog. Like, that is where I think a lot of this pressure came. And I hate that Rob Manfred, who has just been a disaster as a commissioner, he gets this win of like, I'm the guy who got Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson into the Hall of Fame. Like, ugh. That's what I hate the most about it. Like, another bad person being in the Hall of Fame is, it doesn't move me.
Yeah.
Rob Manfred being the guy who did this, that annoys me. I hate that a lot.
I get it. Man, I don't know how to feel about it. I didn't think that Pete Rose should ever be eligible, to be honest with you. As someone who literally was sitting on my couch watching him, break the all-time hit record, it didn't matter. Like, I watched Pete Rose play baseball. I'm old enough to have done that. And I appreciated him as a player and just the way he played. I mean, Charlie Hustle is like the most apropos sure. nickname. I mean, the dude was just a red ass.
Sure.
But he cheated. And you bring up the gambling thing, and it's interesting, like, how their perspective.
Cheat?
Well, yeah, I mean, he bet on games that he managed.
He never bet against his team, though.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean you don't bet the point spread and you don't put in a pitcher that you think in one situation or a pitcher in a different situation or a pinch hit for somebody. Like, there's too many variables there that he had control over.
Sure.
So, yeah, I'm not a Pete Rose fan, but also, you know, this is coming after he's passed away. So,
yeah, if it's a lifetime ban, he died, lifetime's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's,
and as a baseball player, he was great. And deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
We have to, on the radio side, we have to pay some bills. Let's do that. And we can keep talking about this, because I think this now opens the door and raises the question of, like, okay, if Pete Rose can get in, it's Barry Bonds time.
Mm.
Is it?
Or do we have to wait until Barry Bonds is gone?
Right. But there hasn't been a lifetime ban. It's just an unofficial. Okay. I have lots of thoughts on this. We're going to fix the NBA draft lottery as well. And the A's, FYI, kicked the hell out of the Dodgers last night. We got to talk about that. Plus, we've got one team moving on in the NBA playoffs. We might have a couple more teams moving on tonight. Tons to get into in the next couple hours. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil is with us. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I know you're not going to be here tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
but I'm fired up for Donut Friday on a Thursday.
Oh.
We're going to do something a little different. Yeah, get ready, Joe. We're doing something a little different for Donut Friday on a Thursday tomorrow.
Oh.
I need a Donut Committee shirt. Well, so I need a...
Ooh,
I need, we,
that'd be the move.
Right? Official...
Official Donut Committee. Are you going to be in the Donut Committee?
Well, I need to start buying donuts, probably.
if you're going to be in it? Yeah.
Yeah. The other day, my friend texted me. He's like, are you part of the Donut Committee? And I'm like,
Tell that friend no for now.
I didn't say yes. And,
he just wants a free
yes.
shirt. He's
that's
here
fine.
For the free
Joe,
shirt.
If that's what you want, dude. That's fine. You can be the official young person of the Donut Committee. Just making sure we're staying hip and young.
The mascot wants a
free shirt. He wants free donuts. He doesn't want to pay for the donuts, but he wants to be part of the Donut Committee.
You know what? That's totally fair. I love that. No, that's ambition. That's ambition.
I want to have my donut and eat it too.
Nice,
there it
dude.
Is. There it is.
See, that's fantastic. Joe Brazil, welcome to the Donut Committee.
There it is.
So we're talking about the Baseball Hall of Fame and Pete Rose being reinstated, Joe Jackson, shoeless Joe Jackson being reinstated, and the assumption being that there will be either a special vote or maybe they're just included as part of like a veterans committee deal, or maybe they go on ballots since they've never been on the ballot before. But I don't know. I assume that they will receive plaques in the Hall of Fame. So this begs the question, and it's a little bit different because Barry Bonds has not been officially banned by Major League Baseball. Roger Clemens has not been officially banned by Major League Baseball. Alex Rodriguez, Rafael Palmeiro, all of the steroid users or alleged steroid users who have not been voted into the Hall of Fame because of their alleged steroid use are not banned, so MLB can't reinstate them.
Okay.
However, I personally, and if you fall on the other side of this, I'm not going to tell you how to feel, but I personally have long thought that, man, Barry Bonds and that era of player that is being denied entry to the Hall of Fame because of their involvement with steroids, their alleged involvement with steroids, should be in the Hall of Fame. Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa ostensibly saved baseball in the summer of 1998. Steroid users. Baseball benefited so much from this thing.
Yep.
The writers who vote benefited so much from this thing, either directly or indirectly. And to now act as though, you know what, they don't exist in baseball history. You cannot. Baseball's not where it is without that summer in 1998.
Yeah, I mean, McGwire and Sosa saved baseball.
Big time, or at least baseball as we know it. It wouldn't. It's not like MLB would have dissolved. But after the strike in 94, it was a little dicey there for a few years. And then all of a sudden, you had two players racing to 60 home runs, and it took over the sports landscape.
Yeah.
And then you fast forward a few years and you have Barry Bonds chasing 73 home runs in a single season,
mm-hmm.
or chasing that 70 home run record and hitting 73, surpassing Hank Aaron for the all-time home run lead. Like, these were monumental things that happened in baseball history. And to deny them entry to the Hall of Fame, to me, has always been a little bit silly. Now, I've understood the logic because, hey, you know what? If Pete Rose doesn't get in as the all-time hit king because he bet on the sport and Joe Jackson got involved with gamblers, even if he didn't bet on the sport and didn't accept money, he was involved with the gamblers. That's a no-go. They're out. So because they're out, I'm going to leave all the steroid users out because I think they also cheated. Okay. If that's going to be your logic train, that's fine. But if Pete Rose and Joe Jackson are going to be in the Hall of Fame, to me, okay, that eliminates the barriers now. That barrier to entry for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and Alex Rodriguez and all the players who should be in the Hall of Fame and are not because of their connection to the steroids or the steroid era should go in now. There's no more excuse for me.
Okay, so my rebuttal to that would be, first of all of these people are represented at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they, right? Yes, it's not like Barry Bonds doesn't exist.
They just don't have a plaque.
Correct.
Like Pete Rose has, like, there's a Pete Rose locker.
Yes.
They're, like, right. So they are represented.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I also think a distinction needs to be made between gambling,
okay,
and tainting your stats by using performance-enhancing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I've always drawn the line. And I get it. Like, we can see, like, clear points in people's career where they take off, right? Mm. But I can also tell you that, like, steroids were rampant in the 80s and the 90s at the college level, mm-hmm. where these guys are coming through the college level. And so someone can say, well, I think Barry Bonds took steroids on this date. You can't tell me that you know that for sure, though. Because even if he were to ever admit it, he would admit that, okay, there was a point in this year where I may have taken steroids. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I don't know that you can believe any of them that they didn't take it years before. Mm-hmm. Like, again, Mark McGwire could have been taking steroids at USC.
And he didn't look like it, but yeah.
Well, he didn't look like, because he was like a 19-year-old kid,
yeah,
20-year-old kid. But then when he gets to the major leagues and he hits 49 bombs in his rookie season,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you could have at that point started testing and said, okay, what's going on here?
Sure.
But
that's the thing is they didn't. There weren't.
Yeah.
It basically wasn't illegal. They didn't. They decided not to punish those players at the time. Baseball said, hey, we're going to reap the rewards of this.
Yeah.
Oh, and then, by the way, when you retire, no, you can't do that. No. What?
Yeah.
I can't square that in my head. I can't do that. And now, to me, the fact that baseball has taken down this barrier that was there for Pete Rose and for Joe Jackson, to me, okay, let's now remove the barriers for the players who weren't banned for life. And that people are just holding vendettas against because, you know what, we're going to pick and choose who we keep out and who we don't. Like, I hate that. I hate that a lot.
No, I'm with you. I would just say that it's really difficult, like, specifically, I think the guy that you can point to, clearly Bonds goes from being, like, a 30-home run guy to all of a sudden it's ridiculous, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's players like Roger Clemens who, you know, 3-time Cy Young award winner as a young player. But then there's a point in his career where it's over, where he's lost it, right? Mm-hmm. And we see it. It happens. He's 30, he's 31, he's 32. He's completely shot.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he bulks up. All of a sudden, he's back. And at the age of 34, starts rattling off 4 more Cy Youngs after his career was over.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I get to the point where it's, If making the Hall of Fame is based off statistical accomplishments, right? We can all agree. Like it was always like cut and dry: 500 home runs, 3,000 hits, 3,000 strikeouts,
right.
300 wins.
You're in.
Those are the benchmarks. Well, Roger Clemens would have never ever got to half of his stats if it weren't for the fact that at the age of, I don't know, 31, 32, 33, somewhere in the middle there, he started taking steroids and all of a sudden revitalized his career that was over. And so, again, I think that we can reevaluate what, you know, winning 3 Cy Youngs as a young player, and you probably should have been a Hall of Famer no matter what. Like Pedro Martinez didn't last long enough to win more than, what, 180 games, 189 games, whatever it is. But he's a Hall of Famer because he was so good during his young era, right? Yeah. But that's not the way it used to be. It used to be that you had to hit these benchmarks if you're getting in. And there are players that have like 2,800 hits who aren't in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. There are players that have 450 home runs who aren't in the Hall of Fame because they didn't hit the benchmark.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the game is based off statistics and the Hall of Fame is based off statistics, you have to like look at those numbers differently than gambling.
But I guess for me, the question is, and if it's for you, I saw somebody in the chat say steroids are cheating, gambling is not. And you made the case earlier that, like, well, no, gambling can be cheating too. But let's put that aside. If that's the take that all cheaters should not be in, okay, fine. My issue with what you said is, okay, how many home runs were Barry Bonds' alleged steroid use worth? Was it, because let's say they're worth 150 home runs. That puts them at, 612 instead?
Yeah.
Like that's where that argument falls apart for me a little bit, because, okay, then how much of their statistics are we attributing to that? If it's just cut and dry, they cheated, I think they cheated, they're not getting in, okay. So are we making sure that none of the members of the Houston Astros who cheated with the sign stealing stuff don't get in?
No.
Because it's ostensibly the same. If you're using, now if somebody's signs are bad and you're staring at them from the first base dugout and you go, oh, hey, we can tell that guy's going to throw a fastball right now. Hey, that's one thing. But when you're using technology to film from center field to relay that down to a video person who's doing analytics to break down the signs and then you're relaying those, that's cheating.
Mm-hmm.
So is every person who played for the Astros a cheater and no longer allowed into the Hall of Fame? If that's true, okay. But
yeah,
that just opens a can of worms to me. That, okay, now what's cheating, what's not? The bottom line for me is that there are players, a lot of players, who use steroids during the steroid era. We call it the steroid era, not because one or two guys did it, but because a lot of dudes did it.
Yeah. Most. I don't know what the number is, but it's a lot.
It's the... There are rules against it now.
Mm-hmm.
You face significant bans if you're caught for using performance-enhancing drugs now, or drugs related to performance-enhancing drugs. There are bans now. There are it's like 60 games and then a full season.
I think it's
and
80.
Then a lifetime or yeah. 80 and then a full season and a lifetime. Like it's there are real bans in place now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's now. And if MLB is knocking down that barrier for Pete Rose and Joe Jackson, then I think Hall of Fame voters should respond accordingly.
I think, just
understand that, hey, this is part of it.
I think that there is a way to do it that I think appeases everybody,
mm-hmm.
where you can have a segment of the Hall of Fame, a wall in the Hall of Fame that, like, I know it sounds horrible, but you could be on the wall where, like, it's a questionable era. But it would be really tough to just call guys out, that yeah. especially if you don't have proof. I mean, you know.
Craig Biggio didn't use steroids at all. Never once.
Jeff Bagwell.
Never once.
Yeah. No.
That's right. I think you put a plaque up, and if you want to say was named in the Mitchell report or was alleged steroid user or admitted to steroid use, fine.
Mm-hmm.
There's
a lot of them.
No, it's a huge chunk of players.
No, it is. I mean, like Mark McGwire should be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Sammy Sosa should be in the Hall of Fame.
I've given up like passionately defending this or mm-hmm. arguing about it because I think everybody kind of lands where they're going to land. There's people in the chatty house right now going, no, you cheated. You don't get in. All right. I'm of the belief that, man, that is an era that baseball benefited from, and those players should be rewarded accordingly.
And I'm of the opinion of like so many of the stats are fruit of the poisonous tree.
Sure.
And you can't tell me when you actually cheated and when you mm-hmm. didn't. And, you know, you could have a player who literally his entire career is a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
His entire career from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I've got a buddy who played baseball, like LSU Shreveport.
Mm-hmm.
And him and his high school buddy made a commitment that they wouldn't do steroids. They were hanging out, very, very good players. And their catcher was horrible. And came back one summer and gained 40 pounds and had zits all over and had clearly, and then sure. got drafted and they didn't, and he was bad and they were great. And
mm-hmm.
they just sat there and went, well, I guess our baseball career ends and that guy gets to go on. And that's tough.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of baseball, we'll get to the NBA draft lottery stuff because James and I are going to fix it coming up here in a little bit.
Got a shovel.
But fix it like correct it, not fix it as in rig it. We already know the NBA is doing that themselves. I'm joking. Hey, man, the passionate defense yesterday from, I think I saw Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated and Howard Beck.
Mm.
Also, Howard Beck was dropping F-bombs, which he does from time to time. But he was dropping F-bombs. Like,
shout out Davis.
You're, like,
UC Davis.
He's like, you're stupid if you think the NBA can rig the lottery. And he went through all the process they take and all the thing and how the person who is telling the person when to draw a ball is not even looking at the hopper.
Hmm.
So anyways, we're gonna fix the NBA draft lottery in a little bit. But the A's, we talked about that Yankees series. And it being a measuring stick series and how it wasn't covered as such, I'm taking it upon our show to properly cover this series against the Dodgers down in Chavez Ravine and the A's. Three-game set against the Dodgers, three-game set against the Giants. That's two very good teams in the National League. These are measuring stick games for the A's.
Yeah.
Yankees, are they a team that's going to hover around 500, mm-hmm. or are they a team that's going to compete with the rest of the playoff teams in Major League Baseball? And I got to tell you, that Yankee series didn't go well. The A's were outscored 29-15, and they dropped two out of the three. Dodgers series got off to a roaring start.
Wow.
The A's went down to Chavez Ravine last night. They won 11-1. They beat up Landon Knack, the starter for the Los Angeles Dodgers. They hit five home runs last night. Jacob Wilson hit two.
He's so good.
Your American League Rookie of the Year.
Right now.
Hit two jacks last night.
Yeah.
And is now batting, what, 367?
I think it's 364.
He sucks.
Yeah, I looked it up.
Batting high, over 360.
And hey, did you know where they batted him?
Where'd they bat him? Look at that. I think he's their leadoff guy now. I think he's been doing that pretty consistently.
Yeah, I think he's probably the leadoff guy. I kind of wish they would get a more on-base percentage guy to be leadoff and then have him bat second just because of his ability to make contact.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability to do like hit and runs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are a lot of ways that you could open up the middle of the field for him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like it.
Yeah, one or two, as long as you're maximizing his at-bats. That's the big one for me. Nick Kurtz.
Yep.
A's rookie, who was drafted 9 months ago, gets his first major league home run. Congratulations to him. And then in the ninth inning, you had Andujar and Blade going back-to-back to extend that 9-1 lead out to 11-1. And the A's rolled over the Los Angeles Dodgers last night down in L.A. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's a young team that got knocked around a little bit by the Yankees and then had a day off and then went down to L.A. and said, this is the defending World Series champ, and we don't care.
That's right. No, this was a very, very good game. And, like, look, you want to take it, you don't want to get swept in these series.
Mm-mm.
That's it. Like, take one or two against the Yankees, that's okay.
Can you split the six against the Giants and the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Can you win one of those series and get a game in the other one?
Mm-hmm.
Is kind of how I'm looking at this. And again, this might be the start of a run for the A's. You win both series, all of a sudden you're competing with two of the best teams in the National League, and you start picking up momentum from there.
Yep.
So shout out to the A's. They play again tonight against the Dodgers down at Dodger Stadium in Southern California. All right. We're going to fix the NBA draft lottery when we get back. We're going to ethically order the teams.
Mm.
We are going to put together the perfect NBA draft. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you would like to call the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line and join the show, please do. You can also join us on the Chatty House at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Back in a second on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I said we weren't going to talk about this on the radio. We were only going to talk about it on the video streaming side at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. But now we're in the midst of a trivia game, and so we're going to keep talking about it. Derrick Henry has signed a monster extension with the Baltimore Ravens. That's a two-year extension for $30 million. It includes $25 million fully guaranteed over the next two seasons. That sent us down a rabbit hole of ridiculous Derrick Henry stats, because he is going to go down as the top running back of this era by a pretty wide margin and maybe one of the better running backs of all time. He is the active leader in rushing touchdowns with 106. He is 32 ahead of Ezekiel Elliott, who has 74. Number three is who we're trying to get. It's not Alvin Kamara, who's fifth. It's not Aaron Jones, who's 15th, and it's not Christian McCaffrey, who is 11th.
I had, I was really close to coming up with a name.
Okay.
I might be able to. I'm going to say James Conner.
James Conner is a very good guess. He is 7th at 59.
Okay. Wow.
I'll give you the number the player has is 65.
65 rushing touchdowns.
And we're looking in the I'll give you another. We're looking in the AFC.
The AFC. Okay, so Jonathan Taylor doesn't have that many.
He does not. He is tied for 12th with, I don't want to tell you who he's tied with.
Okay. Boy.
I'm telling you, we could probably do this the rest of the show.
Wait, Nick Chubb?
No, another good guess. He's 12th. Tied, one of the people tied with Jonathan Taylor.
Okay. Former Cincinnati back turned.
No, Joe Mixon. He is tied with Kamara for 5th.
Dang.
I want to see if the chatty house is going.
Austin Eckler?
Nope. Eckler's a good guess. Eckler. Eckler might not be a good guess. No, he's 19th. Not that good of a guess.
Okay.
Let's see.
Boy, how am I?
Is anyone? Like, I do. The chat does have it. Somebody in the chat does have it. Not going to say who. I'll give you a hint about the person who has it in the chat. It is not Derek Carr.
So it's Josh Allen?
It is Josh Allen. Hey.
Dang. I should have got that quicker.
No. What? He has 65 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but you go through, like, you know, because I play fantasy football, so you're thinking of all the guys who have had, like, big, big touchdown seasons. And he hasn't had a 20, right?
No, nothing crazy like that.
No, but there are guys that have, and that's where I was trying to, the process of elimination, like how many guys are left in the league. Like Dalvin Cook had like a big time one season where he had a bunch of touchdowns. But
so I would have put Josh Allen, if you had just said, hey, in 7 seasons, how many? I would have put him about 50.
Yeah.
He has 65.
Yeah, that's wild.
15 2 years ago and 12 last year. Shout out to Josh Allen. What a player. All right.
Yeah.
Let's fix the lottery.
Let's fix it.
I would like the NBA to change how it does the lottery. Because I get that flattening the odds is the whole point of trying to get teams to stop tanking. We haven't gotten teams to stop tanking. They just try and be one of the three worst teams in the league, so they have the opportunity to move up to number one. It doesn't feel like tanking has been curtailed that much.
No.
Is it as obvious? No, not always. Here's my issue with it, though. With flattening the odds. Because I've seen the argument of just win games. Well, just if you're worried about it, just win games. Just go be good instead of bad. The problem is when you flatten odds like this, I don't think the Wizards were trying necessarily to be bad last year. Like they weren't. They knew they weren't going to make the playoffs. But they weren't as deliberate about it as, say, the Utah Jazz were.
Well, even like I've, you know, we talked about it the other day. I said, hey, like, look, they even traded players, right? They went out, they signed Valanciunas as a free agent, and then they traded him during the season. They traded Kyle Kuzma. I didn't think that was part of an addition to their tanking. I thought that was to collect assets.
Right, that's just a prudent team-building move.
No, I thought so.
Yeah.
Again, Utah, I will like die on this hill. Utah is the most embarrassing trash. That was so pathetic. Even the John Collins thing, they could have traded John Collins and gone and got assets at some point, but even that never really materialized.
Right. And that's why the Jazz thing is annoying, because the Jazz are bad. Even if Lauri Markkanen and John Collins and Keontae George and Walker Kessler, even if those guys played all their games, they were going to be pretty bad. They were going to be probably in that 30-win range.
30-win bad.
But they would have been in that range. Not, what did they finish with, 16?
17.
17 wins. They're trying to game the system by not trading those guys.
Yep.
And going, hey, we're going to try and get Cooper Flagg and drop him onto this team that's ready to compete.
That's already good.
With John Collins and Walker Kessler. And like, they're trying to game the system. Washington's not doing that.
No, Washington
just stinks.
They're void of talent, and they're trying to bring some young players up.
And what sucks about the quote-unquote flattening of odds is that, man, Washington just stinks. The draft is how teams like Washington get good players, or at least get the foundation, and then they can, you know, trade and sign free agents and whatnot. Washington gets hosed in this because what's their recourse? What are they picking now, 6th?
Mm-hmm.
I know you got it. Okay, Steph Curry was the 7th pick, right? There's a, Giannis was what, 14, 15, something like that. Like there's all kinds of, Kawhi was a late pick. Like I get there's different ways that you can draft talent and develop talent, especially in a draft like this one that looks a little bit deeper. You know, you can still find a player there, so it might not be the end of the world. But I don't think that that's right. I don't think the way the NBA has flattened the odds is the right way to do this. I think they need to create a committee.
Oh.
Featuring you and me.
Oh, okay. I'm here.
And we can invite people from the chatty house. We'll invite Joe, a member of the donut committee. Kenny Caraway can be involved. And in fact, you know what? Maybe the committee will just be ESPN 1320. Get Jesse in here. We'll get D'Lo in here. We'll get Charlie in here. And I think you need to rank the teams ethically.
Hmm. Okay.
So, for example, the number one pick this year, who do you think should have gotten the number one pick this year?
Boy, that's tough.
It's really tough.
Yeah, because you know who it should be?
Who?
Portland.
Okay, you think Portland should get the number one pick?
Ethically.
Okay, why is that?
Because Portland tried. They won 36 games with a roster that I don't think anyone thought that would even come close to that.
Yep.
I think that they continued to play. They won games late in the season. Mm-hmm. They tried to establish a culture. And the fact is, they don't have enough talent today to compete. They did sit some of their veterans, but they sat some of their veterans because they had young players in those positions, and they were pushing to try to somehow, you know, get back into the play-in tournament.
They were fighting for the number 10 seed up until there were like four games left.
Yep.
They were playing hard, dude. I love that idea. It wouldn't have been my first pick, but the more you talked about it, the more I like it. Let's go. Blazers are picking first. In that same vein, I'm going Brooklyn number two.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jordy Fernandez. That team played its ass off.
I agree. And, you know, the Portland, they finished tied with the Suns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we're talking about.
That's
right?
Incredible.
And I agree with you about Brooklyn. And Brooklyn, I might move ahead. But same time, they early in the season traded away a couple of players.
They punted too early.
Yeah.
They punted when it became clear, like, okay, we might make the play-in. We need to be worse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
That was the spirit of the deals they made.
They really, really need a number one, number two, number three to build around. Yeah, they don't have that player, and it's going to be very difficult for them to find that player.
I agree. Who gets the number three pick for you? Washington gets it for me.
Okay, that's fair.
All right.
Yeah, I don't hate that. And to be honest with you, I think Charlotte's right there too. Because I don't think Charlotte tried to be bad. I just don't think they have any talent. And that's why I was like A-okay with them coming in at the number four pick and the way it worked out.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that made sense for them to be the fourth pick.
Yeah.
Especially to move ahead of teams like, you know, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Who goes five?
Hmm.
Where are we dropping Utah? Are we dropping Utah out of the top 10?
Yeah. No, I think like...
I think putting them one spot wherever behind wherever we put the Raptors.
Yeah,
I think they should have finished about with the same record as the Raptors.
There's no honor in what the Jazz did.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah. And for that matter, I'd say the same about the Pelicans. They had injuries, right?
Mm-hmm.
They traded Brandon Ingram. They had injuries and all that stuff. But they also sat Zion Williamson for so many games that it became an issue with them behind the scenes where he's like, I am not comfortable sitting all these games because now I'm just getting more and more and more of a reputation for somebody who doesn't play games.
Right.
And they wouldn't let him play back-to-backs or anything else. I think that they shut down players early. But then again, you know, they did have a ton of injuries.
Okay, this is fun. I would like to continue playing God with the NBA lottery when we come back.
Okay.
We'll also dive into the NBA playoffs. Is the Warriors season over tonight?
Mm.
We'll find out. Is the Celtics season over tonight? Maybe.
Maybe.
We'll talk about that. We'll keep playing with the NBA lottery. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's with us. We're the Insiders, and we are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. But before we play some commercials for you, I got to tell you about my friends at Underdog. Because Underdog Daily Fantasy is my new favorite way to watch sports, and I think it will be your new favorite way to watch sports as well, especially during the NBA playoffs, where every single game you've got or every single day you've got games. Every single day you're making lineups. You can mix and match those lineups with, like tonight, we have Knicks, Celtics, and we have Warriors and Timberwolves. I'm probably going to mix and match my lineup a little bit. I'm going to have to see what the numbers look like because there's going to be some adjustment without Jason Tatum. Do I trust Jaylen Brown? Do I trust Jaylen Brown to have a big game? We'll see. I gotta think about that. We don't know Steph Curry for the Warriors. Does Brandon Pajemski get out of his shooting slump, or do we keep rocking lowers on Brandon Pajemski and racking up W's? Those are the decisions I'm going to have to make, and those are the decisions you should be making, especially if you're a Kings fan.
Yeah.
No team in the playoffs this year. Maybe next year. No team in the playoffs this year, though. Yeah, get on Underdog, build a lineup, and that way you have a team to root for. Download the Underdog app and sign up with promo code Kyle M. That's KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. That's promo code Kyle M. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncbgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 Hope Line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. We're going to keep playing with the NBA Draft Lottery. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil is with us. We're the Insiders. Back in a second.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
KFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil is producing this program. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you till noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Those guys will take you up to 4 o'clock for game 5 of the Knicks and Celtics. That is taking place at TD Garden in Boston. Can't wait. Who wins that one tonight? I kind of think the Celtics get it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Man, I feel bad for Jesse. I think his Celtics are shot.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win the series. Yeah. But I think I would lean toward there's going to be that injury shell shock and the Knicks are going to smell blood and the Knicks are going to come out firing and the Celtics are going to know they just don't have enough. That would typically be my thought on the game. And given how my Underdog lineups have gone, this is bad news for the Celtics that I feel this way. But I think they're a talented enough team that they galvanize around the Tatum injury.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out at home down 3-1 and throw one last punch where Derek White has a big game. Jaylen Brown shows why he was the finals MVP last year. And they put together just enough to win one more game.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
And then they lose game 6.
Yeah, I mean,
Boston definitely has a better chance to win than Golden State tonight.
Oh, like for sure, lot,
right?
For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think with Golden State, everyone knows that there's a possibility that Steph's coming back next game, and that's going to make the Warriors desperate to get there, but it's going to also make Minnesota desperate to close this thing out.
Yeah, this is here's the thing with the Timberwolves, because our guy Norm in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320. And twitch.tv/ESPN1320 if you want to join us on the YouTube side, or on the video side, I should say. Our guy Norm asked if the Warriors had a higher or lower than 50% chance of winning tonight. And to me, it's lower. And it's less like, part of me thought, okay, it's sort of how you do about the Timberwolves, where, you know what, this team just doesn't have that instinct.
Mm-hmm.
They mess around a lot. They're going to have stretches of games. They're going to have a couple 3-4 minute stretches of games where they're not going to score and they're going to throw the ball away and they're going to take bad shots. And that's going to lose them a game or two. The problem Golden State has is without Steph Curry on the floor, when Minnesota goes through those 3 or 4 minute lulls where they don't score, it's like an 8-0 run for Golden State. not a 17-0 run. And then it stays close, and then at some point, Julius Randle, who the Warriors just can't guard, he's going to go off on a little scoring spree. Anthony Edwards is picking and choosing his spots really effectively. The other night, they were down two starting the third quarter. They opened the third quarter on like a 17-0 run, and Ant had 14 points 6 minutes into the quarter.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable. And that's where it's just they have two dudes who, when it comes down to, all right, we need a bucket, they have two dudes who are capable of going getting that bucket. And Golden State just doesn't. They don't have the horses. I don't think it's a Steve Kerr thing. I don't think it's a matchups thing. I don't think it's a man. The Timberwolves are just dominant.
We've talked about this. A lot of it is that the Warriors players are just having to play out of position.
Yeah, that's it.
They're like, you know, the guy who is a two is having to be the one. A guy who's a five is having to be the three. You know, it's unfortunate, but that's the way injuries work in the NBA.
We knew kind of going into this year, there's a reason they traded for Jimmy freaking Butler, man.
Well, even when they traded for Jimmy Butler, that team still wasn't good enough. I mean, that's what you're looking at. You're not.
Well, they went like what, 20-5.
They're good enough. They're good enough to win games. They're good enough to be a playoff team. Mm-hmm. They're not good enough to win a championship.
No, but I do think if Steph Curry's healthy, I think they win this series.
Yeah, maybe.
So the other issue on top of what you're saying is depth has always kind of been a problem. But you talk about shooting. Brandon Podziemski is one of their guys who they rely on to make shots, and he's not.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this chart that he has one of the worst, or tied for the worst shooting percentage in a four-game span in a series ever.
In NBA history?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess second round or later. But not good. Like, really tough, right? Moses Moody's another guy they rely on to hit shots, and he's unplayable in the series.
Yeah.
Just for whatever reason, can't hit a shot, can't play defensively, he's done. Quentin Post, another guy who throughout spurts of the regular season and the second half of the regular season after he came up from the G League, and then at various points of the Rocket series, they were relying on him where they'd go through stretches where, man, you know what? Hey, he's 3-4 possessions in a row. He's getting a wide open three, and he's going to hit a couple of them. He can't play in this series.
I think the Rockets broke Quentin Post. Like, watching that series and how they took advantage and picked on him, it really knocked him off his game, and I think that's a big reason why you're seeing. I mean, he's not playing that much, but
he's not playing at all because Julius Randle goes into his chest and scores, and that's it. And he stops shooting. He's catching on the perimeter and dribbling, and that's not why he's on the court. So he can't play. So they're guys who, because Minnesota the other night I think hit 16 threes.
Yeah.
At one point, it was 16-5 in the three-point margin, and we talked about this a lot with the Kings this year.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you're losing the three-point line by 33 points, it is really hard to go win a basketball game.
Yeah, game over.
It's a ball game. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's just Golden State just doesn't have the recourse. And Buddy Hield is now like, hey, just what you said. It's not, hey, catch and shoot because Steph has warped the defense, two quick passes, and now you're getting an open Buddy Hield corner three. Mm-hmm. It's, hey, Buddy, go create. Can you create a pull-up three? That's not his game.
No.
And on top of this, this is the other aspect of this. Minnesota is awesome defensively. Minnesota is a very, very good defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
They know exactly what they want out of Rudy Gobert. They know exactly what they want out of guys like Nikhil Alexander-Walker. They never put those guys in position to do more than they have to. It's going to be a lot of Anthony Edwards. Julius Randle's been a revelation. He's been so good. Like, the Timberwolves are a good team.
Yeah.
And they're going to take advantage of a team that if this was the Warriors team for 82 games, they are a lottery team comfortably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to.
I would agree 100%. I'd also say, like, when you can take McDaniels and put him on Jimmy Butler instead of having him chase Steph Curry.
Yes.
It just changes every dynamic, because now it's like, okay, you can at least make things difficult for their number one guy.
Yeah.
And they don't really have that true second guy. They've got some good defenders, but not great defenders. You know, like Dante DiVincenzo's he's a solid defender, you know, and a lot of their guys are like that. They're like solid, solid defenders, but they're not, you know, 6'8" with a 7'3" wingspan and like you know, move around the court like a slinky. Mm-hmm. And that's where McDaniels, the ability to use him and even the ability to use him as mainly as a defensive player, because Julius Randle has stepped up and become a 30-point per game guy. Mm-hmm. It's just made them like extremely difficult for this specific team. Mm-hmm. Like the Warriors. I don't know that like what they're going to look like in next round or anything else, but against the Warriors, it makes them tough.
Let's assume just for the sake of this conversation that they play Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested to see what it looks like when it's a player like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or J-Dub, Jalen Williams, who can break a defense down a little bit and get in the lane and be an effective enough player that the defense has to warp and collapse.
Yeah.
Because right now that's not happening. What you're seeing is Jimmy Butler gets into the lane and then he goes to throw it out, but he's passing to somebody who's closely guarded.
Well, it's because they can guard him one-on-one with McDaniels.
Exactly. Yeah, or he's getting to the paint against Rudy Gobert. Even he's hesitant to go up over Julius Randle. Like they just, it's easy. It's like watching the Chiefs and 49ers in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, where the Chiefs didn't have to do anything special defensively because their cornerbacks were good enough that they could just guard the Niners receivers one-on-one.
Yep.
And when you have to play defense or play offense against a defense like that, it's really, really difficult.
Yep.
So it's not a 0% chance because maybe Buddy Hield hits six threes and maybe Jimmy Butler goes for 30 and Brandon Pajemski finds a shot and all of a sudden we're at game six at Chase Center. I don't. Their opportunity was game three. They mm-hmm. smoked it. They were ahead at halftime the other night, and the Timberwolves pulled away. I don't know what other pitches they're going to throw.
That's a tough thing, and I don't think they have another pitch. Yeah. No.
And Steph Curry's been ruled out. So my guess is that series ends tonight with the Minnesota Timberwolves going back to the Western Conference Finals. That's kind of crazy. After the Julius Randle, Karl Anthony Towns trade looked like it was going to be a disaster, all of a sudden the Timberwolves are just, oh, hey, back where they started.
I think it's funny, too, Indiana is in the Eastern Conference Finals, and nobody, if you were to guess that Minnesota and Indiana would be in the Eastern and Western Conference Finals, I don't think anyone would have guessed that those two teams would make it. Like, you could have guessed one of them had the potential to make it, but
sure.
Both.
I thought Indiana's run I thought their run was legit last year because from a standpoint of that's not a bad team that stumbled its way to the Eastern Conference Finals. That was a pretty good team that maybe they got as far as they did because of a couple of injuries.
Yeah.
But they were a good team. Like they weren't some terrible team. I undersold them dramatically this year. I think they've proved this playoffs that, oh, this is a legit team. They might have been a year ahead of schedule last year getting to the conference finals. But this year, it's not like a fluke. That's just a good-ass basketball team, dude.
No, I agree.
But going into the year, I 100%, if you said, hey, one of those two teams is going back to the conference finals, I 100% would have picked the Wolves. Without question, even after the Karl Anthony Towns trade.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you consider how good the Cavs looked during the mm-hmm. regular season, how good Boston was during the regular season. I mean, Boston won 61 games.
Yeah.
You know, the Knicks, like it looked like, and even the Bucks, it looked like a four or five team conference, realistically a top heavy three team conference.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, things change. They change quickly at the NBA level.
It's crazy. It's so nuts. How different the East looks now and the future of the East looks now than it did going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, so wild. Do we, Joe, I want to get your opinion in here as a Kings fan. And of course, in the chatty house, we'd love to hear from you. And if you want to jump on the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320, that's 916-909-1320. Are we rooting for Tyrese Halliburton?
Yes. Yes.
Are we indifferent?
Indifferent would definitely be the way I feel.
Okay, that's fair. That's a fine stance to take.
I'm just upset in general. I was just talking about this the other day, actually. I'm not mad at him. I'm not really mad at anyone. I'm just mad. I'm just upset. He was my favorite player. So, I want to see him succeed. He said what he said after he got traded. I don't really blame him now looking back on it. He wanted to be here. But, yeah, yeah. I would say I am. I want to see him do good, man. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Very good. A lot of no's in the chat.
I've always liked
Brian
Ty.
Said no.
Like, Ty's a cool dude.
Thanks, Joe.
No problem, guys.
Soren said no. Brian says no. We've got an unfortunately yes from B. Perry.
That's exactly how I feel. Unfortunately, I am. Yeah.
I'm kind of anti, can't get past my bias, says Chris.
And see, that's perfect. Like, I feel biased as well. Like, so indifferent, but I want to see him win. I want to see him do good, man.
Yeah.
Jeremiah's rooting for him because he stopped crying about Sacramento. I'm rooting for Hallie from Clagster. Johnny G says he's rooting for him because people aren't. Leezy's rooting for him. PE Time says go Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of your guys. He's one of the former king.
I think I'm just pulling for the Pacers for the story. I don't have any direct feelings about Tyrese Halliburton. Where I'm like, I want the Knicks to win for Tyrese specifically. The Pacers to win for Tyrese specifically. Fix that in post. The Pacers are super fun.
Yeah, they are.
I would love to see this team that doesn't have that like top end superstar punch its ticket to the finals. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'd also like to see Rick Carlisle get a little bit more love because he's been one of the great coaches in the NBA.
It's a good one. Very good.
And, you know, for me, I have a lot of respect for Rick Carlisle. I think he's a wonderful coach.
Yeah. Who are we rooting for? I think a Timberwolves-Knicks finals would be funny. After the Cat-Randall trade.
Yeah, that would be funny.
And they just wind up facing each other.
Boy, would an OKC-Indiana final just be like everyone would talk about the ratings.
Dude.
The ratings are going to be so bad. No.
That'd be good-ass hoop.
That's super fun.
Best, really good offense, really
good
defense.
That would be a good series.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I think that's the best series. I think that's what I'm rooting for. The new guard is here, by the way. The new guard has officially arrived in the NBA. Yeah. No Steph, no LeBron, no KD in the conference finals. It's a bunch of young dudes. NBA is next. And we'll keep talking about those NBA playoffs. And we got a little bit into the Kevin Huerter trade yesterday because the Kevin Huerter trade has now been wiped clean.
Yeah, it's officially over.
The fallout of that trade is over. I want to revisit it very briefly, but I think the Kevin Huerter trade provides a good blueprint for how the Kings need to act this offseason. We'll talk about that. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's here. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Can you catch me up here? Why did Weezy in the chatty house, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, if you're listening on the radio, 1320 AM or 98.5 FM HD2, when you're not listening on the radio, you should be watching us on YouTube and Twitch. Anyways, what led to Weezy talking about the NBA media pushing players out of small markets?
I don't know.
Okay, that's fine.
What it was about. Okay. It was when you were mentioning the ratings between the finals, if it was the Wolves and the Pacers.
Pacers and Thunder, yeah.
Pacers and Thunder, sorry. Yeah, I think that's what he was referencing.
Okay.
Someone said something about TV markets.
Okay. Weezy said an interesting thing here. He said, my point is the NBA media always push this market size thing. They say X star player needs to get out of X small market all the time. Why? The NFL media never says that. Good point. Don't disagree. I think the impetus behind that is because in I think it's salary cap related. Because in the NBA, bigger market teams are more liable to go into the tax and, at least typically, go into the tax and go into the aprons, and they can or are willing to pay more than a team like Oklahoma City or a smaller market team. And so I think the implication in the NBA is Giannis can't contend with the Bucks because the Bucks are too small of a market and they can't put the right pieces around him. So he has to go to a bigger market where they can spend the money to put the right pieces around him or attract the free agents that will come to him and be around him. Whereas in the NFL, everybody's at the same exact hard cap and the league pushes it pushes parity, and there's not a problem of small market teams not being able to keep players because they can't afford to.
Yeah, because I think in baseball, like, we've got to a point where the imbalance in baseball is egregious, it's and insane. Something has to happen. I mean, you can't have a team like, you know, the A's who have like a quarter of the payroll of the team that they're going up against tonight.
Yeah.
And the fact that they won last night and they won one out of three this weekend against the Yankees, who have the same exact thing. You know, you're talking about a $80 million payroll versus a $240 or $320 million payroll. That's just, it's wild. Like, you know, European soccer has, what is it called? Fair play, financial mm-hmm. fair play,
okay.
Right? So if you are a team that can, like, raise more money, that can, you know, go out, you sell more tickets or mm-hmm. you sell more merchandise, or you're able to market better and you're able to sell, like, your corporate sponsorships are better, mm-hmm. all that stuff, there's still only a percentage of that money that you can use to go towards players.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that Major League Baseball is the one that just stands out, that's fallen so far behind and allowed teams to just be basically welfare teams.
Yeah.
Where the NBA, are there teams that pay less for salary? Yeah. But they also have a thing where, you know, you have to be within 10% of the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
And very rarely is there a team that goes through the entire season that's under the regular salary cap.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there aren't a bunch of teams. And if you don't, if you're more than 10% under the salary cap, you have to actually pay your players that money. Mm-hmm. The NBA carves it out and says, hey, you're... You know, your 10% is, you know, again, what was the salary cap this year? $155 million or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone has to be at $140 million. If you're at $130 million, you got to write a check to your players for that $10 million bucks and distribute it. You do.
That's incredible.
That's the way the NBA works. And so teams are above the cap, you know, or around the cap. And then it's about, you know, trying, are there teams that go way above the cap? Sure.
Mm.
But they're usually teams that have been built through the draft, and then it's retaining your own players that cost you to go higher and higher and higher.
This is another interesting layer to this. Who said it? I want to give proper credit here. Where is it? Aldrin J. said Minneapolis is not a small market. Minneapolis, according to this thing that I Googled real quick, is the number 15 TV market in America. So, or number 15 metropolitan market region / area, according to stationindex.com that I'm looking at right now.
Sacramento is what, 19 or 20?
Sacramento is 20.
Okay.
Just behind Orlando, Dayton Beach, Melbourne, and just ahead of St. Louis. So Denver's 18, Cleveland 17, Miami 16. So this is what's interesting, is I think I say small market in relation to the NBA as in, like, place players don't want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Players don't gravitate to Minneapolis. But he's right. I wouldn't call Minneapolis small market. They're number 15. But Miami is always a team that comes up when people go, oh, they should, L.A., New York, Miami. Miami's behind Minneapolis. Miami is behind Phoenix in market size. Miami is behind Phoenix, Detroit, Houston, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Boston.
Yeah, but
Dallas.
They're on the beach.
Right. Yeah. It's just, so that's the other element of this, the other layer of this. I saying small market was the wrong verbiage. Aldrin J is right there. It's in the NBA, it feels like there's a league-wide culture of not everybody. A lot of players are just trying to get to one of those cities. Want to get to New York. You want to get to LA. You want to get to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get quote-unquote stuck in Memphis. You don't want to get quote-unquote stuck in Oklahoma City. And Austin Rivers, his podcast Off Guard that I listen to quite a bit, he talks about all the time, like, playing in Minneapolis sucks because it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because this season is October through April, unless you're going to the playoffs.
Yep.
And it's cold a lot of those months.
Well, there are people who don't want to go to play for Phoenix because it's too hot.
Sure.
Although there's another group of players that love to play in Phoenix because they love golfing.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox always said he loves Houston weather way more than he likes Sacramento weather. He likes the humid. And I'm like, really? You like humid versus the dry heat in Sacramento? Oh, yeah. I prefer that any. He's like, it's what I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right. Well, that makes sense.
He's used to. So I think that's the other. And I feel like, and that I don't have a good answer for. I don't know why that's the case in the NBA versus the NFL. Like, I feel like it's really rare that that's a talking point for players going into free agency of, well, I want to get to L.A. I want to get to New York.
Yeah.
Because the Giants and Jets stink. So you don't see players trying to get to those markets necessarily. It's more, oh, I'm going to go to the team that has salary cap space and is going to sign me to a huge contract because I might have one big contract in the league. Versus in the NBA, like you're going to get your rookie extension, then you'll get another big extension, and then after a couple of years, you get another max extension. So,
yeah.
And I just don't think the opportunities are there as much for that with, like, Oklahoma City broke up the James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka, Kevin Durant thing because they couldn't pay all of them. They wouldn't pay all of them.
Yeah, and again, you're looking at media size, media market size. Oklahoma City is 45th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Memphis is 48th in America.
Ooh.
New Orleans is 53rd.
Man.
And that's where, like, New Orleans has a tough time competing. San Antonio is 37th. Milwaukee is 35th.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these things actually matter. Salt Lake City, 33. They matter because the teams have less money coming in the door with media markets. So, like, Sacramento has a very lucrative RSN, you know, with NBC Sports.
Regional Sports Network.
Yeah, between $30 and $35 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a really, really good deal.
Yeah.
Now, LA, I think it's like $200 million or something. Like, it's ridiculous. So, they have a lot more money coming in the door, right? And so, they do have the ability to go out and spend more money. And also, like, look, when you look at, you know, like, ownership, Lakeup ownership in San Francisco, San Francisco has so much more, like so many more millionaire billionaires than Sacramento. You know, the guy that you have running the Sacramento Kings, like Vivek's not a billionaire. He might be a billionaire now because of the valuation of the Kings,
The
network, but he wasn't when he bought the team.
Yeah.
And so, but he's not even from here.
Yeah. Sacramento's got like Kenny Caraway and that's it.
Yeah.
In the billionaire class.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how many, if there are any billionaires from Sacramento, but the Bay Area, there's hundreds,
or at least they live there.
Yeah,
yeah, no doubt. That's interesting. But yeah, Milwaukee not a small market.
Maybe not hundreds.
But it's like, but it's that is kind of interesting. There's this consensus that Giannis can't win in Milwaukee, and it's not. Oh, he should go to San Antonio. It's, oh, New York, the Knicks. Oh, did the Lakers get him? How do the Warriors get him?
Chicago.
How does, like, that's the I guess Houston is a team that gets put in there. But Houston gets it put in there as a team because of all their assets and young players.
They're the 10th largest media market in America.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big media market.
Yeah, it is. That's funny. Miami.
Interesting stuff.
Behind Minneapolis, but you will find zero players who would prefer to play in Minneapolis. Miami's stressful, dude. I don't think I want to hang out in Miami ever. That just seems like a commitment to being a person that I don't want to make.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can be an introvert in Miami. Not that I'm that much of an introvert, but it just feels like there's a lot going on. Okay, that's fine. What do we want to get to?
Oh
Kevin Herter.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about Kevin Herter. There we go. We got off of our... We have a rundown here where we have each segment blocked out. And I got off track. But I want to punt the Kevin Herter thing today, actually.
Oh.
We can talk about that tomorrow.
I won't be here, but yeah.
Okay. Great. Okay, you know what? No, that's fine. We got Jesse tomorrow. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm doing this on the fly in my head. Kevin Herter. Was the Kevin Huerter trade good or bad? Now that it's over, now that everything has conveyed, it meant the Kings don't have their pick in this year's 2025 NBA draft. You got the one really great year from Kevin Huerter.
I think it's struggles. I think it's a net neutral trade. Like, I think if it would have been, you know, the 13-14 range is probably what Kevin's value was. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, the Kings were hoping they would be really good and this pick would be more like the 24th pick, mm-hmm. right? But at the end of the day, you got one really good season. You got a 48-win season. And there's this other thing that on the way out the door, like when you traded Kevin, you acquired a $16.8 million trade exception. Mm-hmm. So I don't think, I know this sounds really weird. We can't fully judge the Kevin Huerter, like, entirety of it until you see what they actually do with that. Sure. If they do nothing with the $16.8 million, I mean, it would still have value because it saved you $16.8 million off the cap, right? Mm. But if they're able to go out and do another deal where they get a player that's really good, then you're realistically, you could be extending the Kevin Huerter trade out over, you know, another 4 years, 3 years, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. I just wonder if it was worth it. And according to Joe Brazil, our wonderful producer, founder of Raley's, is from Sacramento. He's worth around $1 billion.
Yeah.
Shout out to Michael Thiel. All right. So I have a hard time wrapping my head around the because I tend to lean toward the player in this, and Kevin Huerter's 2022-2023 season was really freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to lean toward, man, you give me one really awesome season, that's worth a pick. What was it, 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road?
Yeah, 3 years down the road.
3 years down the road, that's worth a first round pick. But on the other hand, I don't know that it was worth it to have their draft picks tied up. And I don't know that Kevin Huerter was so good in that 1 year that you couldn't have found an adequate replacement either via different shots on the roster, different shooters on the roster, or just a different shooter who is available for less than that.
No,
does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with Spencer, you.
And just the way he kind of collapsed in the following offseason because they brought in Chris Duarte, and then the way this season went, and then they deal him this year.
When they acquired, though, Kevin Huerter was like 23 years old, 23, 24 years old. Like, to predict it, that a player is going to have such a gigantic tail off in his career.
Yeah.
Like, that's nearly impossible. I mean, Kevin Huerter is still only 26 years old mm-hmm. right now. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. So for me, like, I think, you know, again, the Kings are in a situation where they need more players of Kevin Huerter's like value in the market.
Yeah, that's where this whole kind of conversation stemmed from.
Yeah.
Because I was watching the Thunder last night. Mm-hmm. And excuse me, that's not right. Well, I was thinking about it with the Thunder. But the Nuggets, I was watching the Thunder and Nuggets last night and watching the Nuggets and watching Michael Porter Jr. provide them nothing.
Yeah.
He is so bad. I don't know if it's that shoulder injuries hampering him or what, but it's the depth issue with Denver is so clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch that, and then you watch the Thunder, and just this onslaught of players where if they want to, they can go 11 players deep in their playoff rotation, and nobody would bat an eye.
Nope.
You watch the Pacers, who just have this awesome, super deep rotation. Even the Timberwolves have some really good depth where there's never a five-person unit on the floor where you're like, ugh, this doesn't make sense. That player's not very... Nah, that player doesn't really work. Ugh. I think this is what the Kings need to focus on this offseason. If you can make a swing and get Giannis freaking Antetokounmpo, great, cool, do that.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I think it's less about who's the best player. They can go get the best guy. And more, can you get some guys in that... Again... Let's forget what the last couple of years of Kevin Huerter looked like and the way he tailed off. Let's think back to the 22-23 season where he was just this really valuable rotational player. Not going to be an all-star, not going to be a 25 points a night guy, but an impactful role player.
starter 30 minute a game
starter for you.
Starter or 6-7 man.
I think they need to be chasing that kind of deal where you're finding a quality, just a quality starter. Give me some quality bench rotation guys.
Okay, so I
would so much rather have that than missing out because they swung for the fences all offseason.
No, I get you. I think they need both. I think they need to go swing for the fences and try to find a 1A or a 1B or, you know, a 2. But I think at the same time, once they get that deal done, if they can get that deal done, they also have to go find another player the level of, and I'm just going to lump them together, like Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray, Kevin Huerter, Malik Monk. And people go, oh, Malik Monk's way. You know what? 2 years ago in the first Beam Team season, Kevin Huerter was your third leading scorer at 15 points per game. Mm-hmm. Like, he was really good.
Yeah.
And even when you traded him, I mean, he finished the season averaging 13.2, 3.2, 3.3. He shot 47.6% for the Chicago Bulls. Like, he looked like the player that you had 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need more players of that level if you're going to compete. You can't have flyers. You can't have guys that are below that level in your rotation if you're going to be successful. And so I think, again, would I do it again? Yeah, if the right deal presents itself and you can go get a Bobby Portis or a Naz Reid and it costs you the same exact thing where you're giving up a future first-round pick, okay.
For those guys, for sure.
Well, yeah,
I think maybe Kevin Huerter is a bad example. Maybe Jake LaRavia is a better example.
Yeah, I'm not giving up a first round pick for a guy Jake LaRavia.
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also don't think you're getting Naz Reid for a freaking heavily protected first.
No, unless they're just looking at their books and going, oh, no, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
And he can opt out.
Actually,
both of them can opt out and they'll both free. I'm just throwing two names out.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's that level of player. It's not an all-star. It's not a superstar. It's not even that guy who's just below the fringe all-star guy. Mm-hmm. It's not that guy. It's the step below that, which is league average to a little bit above league average player. And the Kings need at least one more of those guys and a star-level player.
I would like to see the Kings be out of the business of when there's 12 minutes a game, maybe 15, where there's a guy or two on the floor where I'm like, should he be on the court?
Yeah.
Is he? Are we sure? Anyways, we'll talk about this with Kenny Caraway. He's going to join us for the handoff here in a second. On the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
And this sucks.
Bro, who in LA is?
That's it. I think
show?
It's. I think it's connecting to different servers, like on Odyssey, because we're all like, we're like the. What are the things called in Last of Us? What are the mushrooms called?
Spores. No.
No. Mm. What are they called? The somebody in the chatty house saw me.
We're intertwined.
Last of Us. Never seen it. What is it? What is
it's a show about, it's kind of like a post-apocalyptic zombie type show, except it's not zombies. It's a fungal infection.
Cordyceps.
Thank you. Goodness
gracious. That's what
gracious.
Everyone is
thank
saying.
Thank you so much. Cordyceps. Appreciate y'all.
Mark
knew
Sousa
was
first.
Knew it was a C. Mark Sousa first to report cordyceps. But if they're all connected, so if like, you step on one in Sacramento, it might feel it in Fresno. And then the cordyceps that have infested those people will know to come get you here.
Mm.
Can we get it together, guys?
Did you see...
Can we get it together? If you're in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Philadelphia, wherever you're at, can we get it together? I'm gonna say it nicely.
Nice, yeah.
Because there's other things going on in my brain that I want to say, but I'm just going to say,
okay,
let's get it together.
Draymond Green was just fined $50,000 from the league for questioning the integrity of game officials and referring to the 5.5-point spread.
Mm. That's so funny.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was crazy. Now, see,
you could tell me the league fined Draymond for anything, and I'd be like, yeah, make sure.
Okay. Now, I thought he might have got fined for that alligator roll he put on DiVincenzo that I guess only I saw.
You guys talked about that yesterday, and you guys want to talk about like, oh, Draymond did this and Draymond. No, I understand, but if he sinks that arm in and wraps that around, he's getting a tap. That's just a good move.
A good move at UFC 241.
That's insane. Yes. Yeah.
Wild.
I'll borderline defend Draymond Green.
Wow. Real all right.
Borderline defend him. Who told them to get that on camera? The only reason he got fined is because that was caught on the ABC or ESPN camera.
They had it like mic'd up?
No, they caught him like they were, you know how they do on the broadcast. Like there's a timeout and like show Chris Finch. Chris Finch, man, he had his team ready to play. And then they show Anthony Edwards. Oh, Anthony Edwards was great in the second half. Yeah. They weren't even talking about the Warriors, I don't think. They were like, yeah, Anthony Edwards was great in the second half. And, man, he played really well. And then they cut to Draymond, and Draymond is talking about the spread.
Like in the middle of the game?
No, it was like coming out of a timeout. Mm. There's 25 seconds left in the game. My point is,
that wasn't meant
for the TV. Like, the only reason he got fined is because we saw that on TV.
Good. What a dumb thing to say. What a dumb thing to talk about.
Well, how about, why are we panning to him at all? And then he wouldn't have got fined.
Because anytime the camera's on Draymond Green, he's liable to give somebody a little elbow.
What did he do to Paul George? Remember that?
No, I don't.
Oh, no.
Remember? You don't remember? Pull that one up. Him when they got in the fight with the Clippers. And he's like.
I don't think we want to.
That's what he did.
We're not going to describe what Kenny's doing on the radio. Just saying.
This is a family program, sir. My God.
After Monday's talk.
This is what he did.
Hey, what are you guys going to talk about when Draymond retires?
How much he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame?
Like, what do you...
He'll be in the Hall of Fame, but...
Man.
Hopefully we won't talk about the Warriors at all. Hopefully they'll go back to what they were.
It's so...
That's right.
There's nothing... there's worse thing in sports. It sucks when there's a player on your favorite team who objectively sucks. Like, not necessarily at the sport, but, like, just... Like, does what Draymond does.
There's a lot.
Punches and the kicks and the elbows and all the extracurriculars, and to have them be good at basketball is like, just go away. I don't want to deal with this anymore.
There's a lot of Warrior fans that feel like you.
It's been
surprisingly
since he got suspended from the 2016 finals. Mm. That's it. That was the day. Mm. It's like, I'm done. This is stupid. I'm done with this. And here we are 9 years later.
Here's and I've said this a number of different times. This is my biggest issue with Draymond Green. And to be honest with you, it's not even Draymond Green. I told the story about we were talking with Danny in San Francisco when we first started the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have these meetings before the show.
I talked to Danny in San Francisco the other day, by the way.
Shout
He's doing
out,
well.
I haven't talked to him in years.
He's doing well.
Tell him I said hello.
Give him a call.
Yeah, shout out to Danny in San Francisco.
Here's the process. You call him. You're going to get a text that says, I'm on a call. I'll call you back later. And then half an hour, 45 minutes later, you get a call back.
Yeah.
It's great.
So, Danny in San Francisco, you might remember this. Draymond Green was talking to James Wiseman on a TNT Warriors-Lakers game. He was mic'd up, and he told James Wiseman, he said, hey, if you go over there, just... Seal him, put your hands up. That's where I want you. I'm going to get you the ball in the post. And that's what you go over there, you seal him, get your hands up. I'm going to get you the ball in the post. And that was on there. And then the next day, Danny in San Francisco, who is a microcosm of most, I won't say all Warriors fans or Warriors media members, he goes, oh, man. The IQ of Draymond Green was just on display. Did you see that mic'd up? Did you see him talking to James Wiseman? I mean, that's the basketball IQ that just takes him to another level. And I said, are you serious?
That's not the basketball IQ that does it.
He just told him to call for the basketball. He said, no, you don't, but you don't understand that IQ, I promise you, 95% of the league is not thinking that way like Draymond.
Wow.
I said, are you for real? Are we having this discussion right now? And this is what I've had to deal with for 13 years. The frustrating thing, he's just so smart.
The frustrating thing about that. He is. No, he is. It's why he's been able to play center at 6'5" for his entire career.
He is.
Every time I talk about Draymond, I make him shorter.
He is above average basketball IQ. He's not genius level basketball IQ like people make him out to be. He's not. He's above average.
How
I'm
can
not
you
say
tell?
Because I hear him talk, and the things that he says afterward is common sense stuff. He's never said anything that's been like LeBron. Like I hear LeBron, it's like next level when I hear him talking about basketball. Mm-hmm. Draymond literally
said. They might just publicly communicate differently, though. But I don't think that that's a fair way to judge a player's basketball IQ. Hmm.
I think it's above average, which is good, right? Like that's,
sure.
Which, once again, this is also the other thing. I'm like, Draymond is a good basketball player. Like, it's above average.
This is fascinating.
No,
this is fascinating.
It's top level.
No, this is fascinating. You're saying that, this is fascinating. Oh, I am saying that. I'm just not being loud about it. no, this is fascinating because you said Draymond Green is one of the best defenders of all time.
Yes.
You said that the other day.
100% of the time I'll say that.
How does he do that at 6'3" if he's not a smart player? Or if he's not a brilliant player.
Because
physically he's just not super talented.
That's not what I said, right? What did I say about his basketball IQ, James?
You said it's above average.
It's above average. I didn't say he's not a smart
player. I don't know the intricacies of the sport well enough to know exactly like, okay, I'm going to measure every player's IQ. Mm-hmm. Like I don't you know that better than I do. But to me, I've always leaned toward, well, he must be pretty damn smart if he's getting away with playing the position he plays on both ends of the floor at his kind of just like limited skill set.
He is pretty damn smart.
He's not. He's not fast. He's not big. He doesn't jump high. He doesn't shoot it that great. He's not super quick.
I'm still hung up with him telling James Wiseman to go in the post and seal somebody off and post up because the Warriors haven't posted up in like 5 years,
well,
10 years.
Because they tried it with James Wiseman. It didn't go well.
But this is my point. Like, he is a smart basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not this genius level basketball player that people make him out to be. Yeah. He's just, it's okay. Once again, it's okay to say he's just an above average IQ. That's not a knock.
They've got a lot of high basketball IQ players, too.
Yeah, Steph is that.
Yeah.
Steph is definitely that. Steph sees things differently. Draymond and how he's a great defender is he's a smart basketball player, and he's strong as an ox to be 6'5", and he can move.
6'2".
At 6'1". He can move, right? So he's got physical capabilities and – he is a smart basketball player. That's why he's one of the great defenders we've ever seen in this league. But he's not a basketball genius. Like, he's not.
Okay. We'll leave that there. D-Long Casey coming up next. James Hamm, have a great weekend. Enjoy your birthday. Happy birthday ahead
James.
Of time for Joe Brazil. I'm Kyle Madsen. D-Long Casey here next. We'll be back tomorrow. Jesse Tapia in for James Hamm right here on The Insiders, 10 a.m. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Hitter. Until then, drink water. Be nice, people. Bye.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.